Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Still temperatures around 100, and then mainly clear and muggy overnight, a low 68. Very hot and humid, hazy sunshine again tomorrow, high 96, with a real field temperature 100 to 105 in the afternoon. Find more news all the time online at WKOK.com. It's time for The Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is going green.
Not that kind of green.
Sunbury Motors has every new vehicle on the lot clearly marked with a green sales tag. Choose from over 25 2012 Ford Escapes that get up to 28 mpg, and they start at just $19,880. And the all-new 2013 Escape is in stock for immediate delivery. The 2012 Ford Fiesta gets up to 40 mpg and starts at $13,975. The 2012 Ford Focus also gets up to 40 miles per gallon, and they're on sale as low as $14,980. SMC has the most fuel-efficient full-size truck on the market, the Ford F-150. They get up to 23 mpg, and there's over 50 F-Series to choose from, as low as $24,989. Remember, every new vehicle from Sunbury Motors gets an extra set of tires. Hurry into SMC and save some green on the most fuel-efficient vehicles during the June Green Tag Sales Event. Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley and the coal region since 1915.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all of the paperwork for you. The e-Power Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you up front for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
This is Gary Dreese
and Jay Little
at Front Street Motors at the Susquehanna Valley Mall.
Yeah, Gary, we're here at the mall for the mega sale, competing with two other dealerships, and we're marking prices down.
And Jay, what's going on with the shopping spree?
Gary, we're giving $500 to anyone who purchases a vehicle from Front Street Motors here at our sale.
And Jay, for this shopping spree, there's no secret charge that we're putting behind closed doors on these vehicles.
So how do we do it, Gary?
Jay, do you know what we do? We take this off for profits. You know, there's a lot of great dealerships out there selling cars in our area. We just want to sell more cars.
And that's what we're going to do, Gary. We're here for 3 days, and we're going to sell a lot of cars.
That's right, Jay. We're here Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Roadshow Part 2, Susquehanna Valley Mall at the JCPenney's parking lot. Don't miss out.
It's the feeling you get when everything's just right.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents The Road Report. 10 minutes before the hour each weekday morning on WKOK. We'll talk about construction slow spots, and we'll let you know if the weather is going to affect driving. Before you hit the road, check out The Road Report at WKOK.com. Then, listen to News Radio 1070 WKOK to find out what you'll run into on the way to work. The Road Report is on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Great to be with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Our number 1-800-795-9565. We're the day after we find out that Freddie Galvis, of all people, performance enhancing. Now, the days on the disabled list, by the way, do count. So the games that they play while he's on the DL count toward his 50 games. But if I had to handpick anybody in that team that I wouldn't think that about, it would probably be him. And I'm not quite sure what he tested for. But he is out 50 games. He's already on the DL anyway, and those games do count. But in what has been a soap opera-like season for the Phillies, got even more so yesterday. And we go back to the question that I asked the other day. At 1-800-795-9565. You're the Phillies. And if you're in this same position a month from now, do you trade Cole Hamels? I want to point out, though, that one stage, the Cardinals were 10 games out of first place last year. And so it can, especially now with an additional wild card spot, albeit that lead four, and that the Cardinals in a similar position a year ago found themselves actually doing well enough and getting to the playoffs. Because once you're in, you can make something happen. And that's the important part to remember. Winning the division, wouldn't worry about that. Although right now, Washington is not performing well. The Yankees came in, slapped them around. The Tampa Bay slapped them around. There's been obviously a lot of LeBron James talk on the verge of his first NBA title. Very quickly, I want to touch on that. This is a series that contains some great talent in it. That great talent includes LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and at times James Harden. Harden's had a very good postseason, but he has not had a great final. When you have great talent on the floor, you have to have somebody that becomes the swing player for you that changes the series in your direction. And as much as there'll be a lot of talk about James, who has had a great series, without question, and as much as we're going to hear that talk, and justifiably so, because if they win, he'll be the MVP, and justifiably will be the MVP, especially if they win tomorrow night. But you have to have somebody that changes the balance of power. Last night's game is a perfect example. Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant combined for 71 points last night. Westbrook had 43. Durant had 28. The rest of the team had 27. Now let's get to the swing guy. Mario Chalmers. Chalmers was the swing guy in the Celtics series. Garnett, Rondo, and then sometimes either Pierce or Allen would play well. Bosch was out for part of the series, so you had James and Wade carrying the water up the hill for the Heat. They needed to have somebody swing it their way in that series, and they won in seven, and Chalmers was the swing guy in several of those games. Big shots, big moments, big plays. And we saw it last night. Remember, Westbrook and Durant combined for 71 points in the game. That means the rest of the players in the Oklahoma City Thunder scored 27 points. Chalmers scored 25 for Miami last night. Thus, he was the swing guy. And he was the same way in the Celtics series. The swing guy, where guys cancel each other out. James canceled out by Garnett. Wade canceled out by Rondo. Bosch not playing, canceled out by no one. So then who becomes the guy that swings it one way or the other? Well, in a couple games when the Celtics needed it, it was Paul Pierce. When Miami needed it, it was, for the most part, Mario Chalmers, although the sixth game where it was all James, they didn't need Chalmers, they didn't need anybody to do anything. James was incredible in game six. Scored 31 points in the first half of the game. So that, you know, Chalmers is a guy that has hit the big shot in his career because, remember, he is the one that hit the big game shot against Memphis when Kansas won the national championship. That's the same Mario Chalmers back in 2008. So he has been the swing guy in the series. He is the guy that will not get a lot of ink. He is a guy that when they talk in conversation about who is doing what, why, and when, they'll talk about James, they'll talk about Wade, and they'll mention how Bosch has come back. Chalmers has been the swing guy that when the stars cancel each other out, Durant's been canceled out by James, Westbrook's been canceled out by Wade, Bosch has been okay, Harden's been okay, but nobody has matched Chalmers in the series. And last night with 25 points, he was the difference maker in the game. Now, was he the MVP of the game? No, I'm saying he was the difference maker. He was the one match. Oklahoma City had nobody matching his production. The Yankees, after winning 10 in a row, finally lost last night. And this afternoon, they are down 6-4 in the top of the seventh inning at the Stadium of the Bronx to the Braves. The Yankees are scorching hot. They have, after really just plodding along in the American League, they have hit interleague play, and they have been great. Now, in this game, they were down 6-2. They've scored two in the bottom of the sixth, and now it's 6-4. And Jeter's 1-for-3. A-Rod's 1-for-3. Cano's 1-for-3. Eric Chavez is 1-for-2. A-Rod has hit a home run, his 11th. Jeter's homered his 7th. Chavez has homered his 4th. All their runs are home runs. And Cano has homered his 14th. So they have, in this ball game, they have 4 solo home runs. Meanwhile, Freeman's hit 2 out. Freeman has knocked in a pair of runs. But Ross, Prado, Hayward is 9th. Freeman, this has been long ball day. All the runs have been produced on home runs, it looks like. Unbelievable. Let me see here. Now, Uglin knocked in Bourne with a run. Then Freeman homered to center. Jeter countered with a homer to right. Prado for Atlanta homered to left. Hayward homered to right for Atlanta. Ross homered to right. And then Chavez to center. Rodriguez to right. And Cano to right. It's a game with 10 runs scored. And there have been 8 home runs in the game. Wow. 8 home runs. Kansas City leads Houston 1-0. That's at the bottom of the 5th inning. And in the bottom of the 4th, Milwaukee leads it over Toronto 5-1. Games coming up later today. Seattle's at Arizona. Texas at San Diego. St. Louis at Detroit. Cincinnati at Cleveland. Tampa Bay will be at Washington. Colorado's at Philadelphia in the National League game. You have to have one National League game in interleague play because of the 16-14 split. Won't be the case next year. And Colorado's at Pittsburgh. Minnesota's at Pittsburgh. Pirates have now won 3 in a row again. We'll have one of the two lead Pirate announcers on tomorrow. We're still waiting to find out which one. It's either going to be Greg Brown or Tim Neverett to talk about the Pirates and what they've done so far, and they've had a great run to this point. They won 3 in a row. Miami at Fenway against the Red Sox. Baltimore will be against the Mets at Citi Field. Cubs and White Sox Southside. Angels at home in Anaheim to take on the Giants. And the Dodgers will be in action at Oakland. 1-800-795-9565 on the Lenape Solar Hotline. That's 1-800-795-9565. Love to hear from you this afternoon and love to find out whether you trade Cole Hamels. I also want to know how you're beating the heat. How are you beating the heat? Here it is, June 20th. Feels like it's late July, early August. I want to know, how are you beating the heat out there? I know it's off topic, but it's something we're all going through. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. And something I'm going to carry through. I want to find, let's see. UConn 9-0 to sit out postseason APR. Let's see, UConn. Men's basketball. A record 10 men's basketball programs, including three-time national champion UConn, will be banned from next year's NCAA tournament. UConn, only one of the big six. These are the ones that are knocked out. Bad APR scores. They are Arkansas Pine Bluff, Cal State Bakersfield, Cal Riverside, UConn, Jacksonville State, Mississippi Valley State, UNC Wilmington, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, Toledo, Towson. Meanwhile, in football, knocked out for bad APR, Hampton, North Carolina A&T, and Texas Southern. In men's soccer, it's Central Connecticut State. And in wrestling, it's Northern Colorado. Not only will UConn and other teams be ineligible for NCAA play, but league officials could also rule them ineligible for individual conference tournaments. Big East has already told UConn they can't play. You don't want them. Here's the reason why. It's not because they're going to sit there and say, well, the NCAA says this, so we're going to go along with the NCAA. No. You don't want them winning the tournament and taking your automatic bid, which then takes away from the number of bids you get to the NCAAs. So that's the reason why. That's why Ohio State, upcoming season, right? Ohio State can only play spoiler. But Ohio State is not going to be allowed to win the leaders' division. They're not going to be allowed to. The reason being is, even if they finish first, boom, they're out. Whomever finishes second gets in. The Big Ten has already told them they're ineligible to play in the Big Ten football championship game. Why? Same reason USC could not play in the Pac-12 championship game last year. That's why UCLA played in the Pac-12 championship game. And they were 500, or what, 6-6. Why did they play in the Pac-12 championship game? USC, they don't want you taking the automatic bid. You go to the championship game, and the ineligible team wins the game. Guess what? You lose your bid. So they're not going to allow that to happen. Same thing with UConn not being allowed to play in the NCAA, the Big East tournament, same story. They don't want them winning the tournament at Madison Square Garden, because they would take away a bid from somebody else in the conference. So UConn, as expected, they lost their appeal on this. And because they lost their appeal, they're out. And I expected UConn to lose their appeal. That the NCAA was out to look at a school that had not performed, and when they did, when they couldn't perform academically, they were trying to send a message to everybody else that they were going to knock somebody out. And they did. UConn is out of it. But remember, Ohio State, the Ohio State, no matter what Ohio State does, if Ohio State goes through with a 12-0 record, 8-0 in the Big Ten, say they do that under Urban Meyer, who magically casts his magic wand and things happen, Ohio State still will not be allowed to play in the Big Ten championship game. That is significant because they're in Penn State's division. And everyone has to start getting a new mindset about divisional play. You have to have a new mindset about it. It's a difficult mindset to go through to understand because you're so used to it being the other way. And I understand that completely. But for example, a Michigan-Michigan State game has no effect on Penn State at all unless they play one of the two in the Big Ten championship game. But that game has no effect on Penn State. It has no effect on the standings or anything that Penn State does. And that is, I think, something that the fans have to understand. And it's a difficult transition to understand it because you aren't used to it yet. And because you're not used to it yet, I mean, there are five teams that you must be better than, not 11. You must be better than Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Purdue, and Ohio State. Those are the five that you need to be better than. Sounds simple. And that is the, that's what makes the difference. Those teams are the ones that make the difference. Those are the five teams that you must beat. And as I point out, a Michigan plays Michigan State. Before, you'd look at the game and say, okay, how does that affect the standings? Penn State did this today. What did Michigan State do? Michigan State's beat them 4 years in a row. Right? But now it's another game. Now it's another game. And because it's another game, it changes the mindset of everybody. It's hard to look at a Michigan-Michigan State game and say, yeah, it really doesn't have a lot of relevance to Penn State, does it?
565, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you on the show this afternoon. Our number 1-800-795-9565. And very pleased to have with us on the show today from the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, the outstanding play-by-play voice and also in charge of media relations, John Schaefer. John, welcome to the show.
Steve, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, the Phillies and Lehigh Valley. They will affectionately refer to it as the Allentown to Philadelphia shuttle. Give us an idea of how many transactions so far have taken place between the two.
It's amazing because of obviously all the injuries that the Phillies have had. We're up to 61 total transactions this year. Now, not all of those, of course, involved the Phillies, some guys coming up from Double A, but it's been a revolving door. I mean, the Phillies have not been able to stay healthy, and that's impacted our roster significantly, and I think more so than at any point in the first the 5 years we've been here.
Give us an idea, talent-wise. What do you think of the talent you have on this AAA team here, and do you think there is some potential major league talent along the way that if the Phillies wanted to tap into it, they could?
You know, it's a good question, Steve. It's been a very good team. It's guided by second-year manager Ryan Sandberg, of course, the Hall of Famer, of course, part of the infamous Phillies deal with Chicago many years ago at this point. When you look at what the roster entails, you know, I think there's some terrific young pitching talent on this roster. You look at a couple of guys that came over the Cliff Lee deal, beginning to shine through, like Filippo Mont, a big 6'7 reliever that throws hard, has good secondary pitch in a curveball. J.C. Ramirez is now up in AAA. He also came over in that Cliff Lee deal. So there's some really good young relievers, I think, in the organization that are shining through. In terms of offensive prospects, Dominic Brown is still considered one of the top prospects in this organization. He's been hampered by injuries as well. The injuries haven't only been in Philadelphia. They've been here, too. When he's healthy, he's hit. But right now, he's got a strained knee. He's had a hamstring injury. So right now, he's actually on the DL. So, you know, bits and pieces are showing through, but injuries have affected this team as well.
I saw Dominic Brown begin his professional career because he played at Williamsport, and I saw him several times against State College. You could see he was a marvelous, probably four-tool talent in this game. When he is on his game, what do you see from him, plus and minus?
You know, I've never seen, when we first saw him come through in 2010, he was probably the biggest prospect, not just in the system, but in all of baseball. And I had never seen a player, and I've been doing minor league games now for 10 years, with as quick hands as he has. He gets his wrist through the zone so effortlessly. It has majestic home runs, and he's somewhat wiry. He's bigger now. He's bulked up. He's stronger. But when he pulls the ball, he gets tremendous power out of his frame, and he can also hit line drives to the opposite field. Like you said, he's an athlete. He has the tools of being just an athlete. You know, he looks like even a football player, looks like a wide receiver. He actually had signed with Miami to play wide receiver before the Phillies, offered him money, and he signed with the Phillies. So I think when everything's going perfectly, he's capable of being an outstanding hitter and an outstanding hitter for power. What he is still learning, and I think he would tell you, is that he switched from right field to left field last year in that Hunter Pence acquisition. So he had to readjust to an entirely new outfield position. And there was an adjustment period, but I think we've seen him make strides playing left and now even center here in 2012. So, you know, he's had a couple of opportunities with the Phillies. He's technically not a rookie, as he has enough service time in the major leagues, but I still think he plays a large role going forward, you know, depending on what happens with free agency. Someone like a Shane Victorino, he's certainly in the Phillies' plans long term, I would say.
There's a player in A-ball that I like a lot named Jeremy Barnes, a shortstop out of Notre Dame. On the Double-A level, two guys I really like, Cesar Hernandez, the second baseman, and the catcher, Sebastian Baye. With you at AAA, that one that's a heartbeat away from getting to the major leagues, a couple of younger guys that are new to the AAA level that you look at and you see something in them that makes them a special player?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think Steve Susdorf, who's come up as an outfielder, and he's just hit. You know, he's a younger guy, mid-20s, was hitting in Double-A. Hit 339 last year in Double-A, has come up here and he's hit over 300. And he's one of those under-the-radar guys. You don't necessarily see him in top 10 prospect lists. But when guys perform at the Double-A level, guys perform at the Triple-A level, you play them every day. Sometimes you just force the hand of the parent club. I think Steve Susdorf could be someone like that. In terms of a guy that has gone back and forth and is a good story also is a Telford, Pennsylvania product, Eric Kratz, who's a veteran catcher who's gone back and forth. He's just rejoining the Iron Pigs tonight. He was actually with the Phillies because Carlos Ruiz was a bit shaken up but did not go on the DL. He's got tremendous power. He's an outstanding catcher at this level. I think he'd be on most major league rosters as a number two catcher. That doesn't present itself right now with Philadelphia. But he's a guy that I think could help the Phillies as well at some point later this year, depending on health of the catching position.
You know, we talk confidence in the minor leagues is usually on a pitch-by-pitch basis.
Mm-hmm.
You have players that they go up, they get a feel and a taste for being in the show, then they get sent back down. Give us an idea in a generalization what the attitude of the players happen to be at AAA that you deal with on an everyday basis, because it is such an up-and-down feeling at this level.
Yeah, it is, Steve. You know, it's such a unique level because it's the cusp no matter which way you're going. If you're going up, you're on the cusp of, you know, being back up. If you're coming down as a veteran, you still feel like you want that one additional opportunity. It traditionally can be a tough level for players to play at because you're so close to the major leagues. We're very fortunate, again, in having Ryan Sandberg as our manager, because when you have a manager that's in the Hall of Fame, that in itself is such a rarity. But you're not going to get a lot of excuses out of the players because it kind of starts with the manager. You know, it starts with Ryan and then trickles down. So I think because of that, he's kind of instilled all we do is put in, you know, all the effort. You know, we put in 100% and the rest takes care of itself. I've really felt that the last 2 years here. This team has played hard. You don't necessarily always get that day in, day out in minor league baseball, especially in AAA. This team is a team that does play hard. There's no doubt. There's highs and lows. You have guys performing extremely well going up, not performing as well as they'd like. They come back down. So maybe a little bit of your confidence could be broken or shaken. And, you know, that's an adjustment that they constantly go through in AAA. Same could be said for the lower levels. You go up and you get tested, and sometimes you have to come back down. But we have had a lot of guys, you know, go back and forth and have some success doing that. And that's not easy to do, and I think it speaks a lot to what Ryan Sandberg's been able to do.
I want to talk now about Ryan Sandberg, because he badly wanted the Cubs job, and he was very open about how badly he wanted the Cubs job. What do you see in him that allows him to be an effective manager on this level that will then open the door for him to be the major league manager he's dreamed of being?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing because he's not a lot of guys with his credentials as a player, I think, would want to manage, would want to kind of to go about it again the hard way from single A to double A to triple A and eventually maybe a chance at the major leagues. But he's done it the right way. You know, he's done it now for 6 years. He's had very good teams in both the Cubs and Phillies system. He was the Pacific Coast League Manager of the Year a couple of years ago. You know, of course, as a player, you know, 10-time All-Star, we all know, drafted by the Phillies, later dealt to the Cubs, the rest is history, him becoming a Hall of Famer. I just think that he is willing. What a lot of people aren't willing to do in all walks of life is kind of put in the time and effort. He says, I need to learn how to become a good manager. And I think he's done that over the course of now hundreds and hundreds of games. He's extremely well-respected, so I think he'll do a good job at the clubhouse. He's regarded as a player's manager. He gets a lot of guys in. You know, on a 25-man roster, he doesn't just sit people. He wants everyone to be fresh. He takes advantage of double switches, defensive replacements, pinch running. So he gets everyone involved, and I think that makes kind of everyone be a little more attentive to his message. And, you know, 2 years here, we were 16 games over 500 last year and in the postseason for the first time ever. And this year, you know, you cross your fingers at the halfway point, we're 10 games over 500, so hopefully heading to another postseason spot.
We are talking with John Schaefer, the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, the AAA affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies, and he's also in charge of media relations for the Iron Pigs as well. We're discussing manager Ryan Sandberg of the Iron Pigs, back for his second year there. His greatness as a player certainly transcends. It's obvious that he commands instant respect the second a player deals with him.
That there's no doubt about it. And you don't always get that, again, at this level. That's what makes this level a little bit more unique. I think at some of the other levels, as guys come up through systems, they're somewhat naive to who might be in charge of them. You know, they're just kind of going about it the way they've been told to go about it. But once you have guys with, you know, 5 years of major league service, 10 years of major league service, you know, 10 plus years of minor league service, some guys just want to do it their way. But again, if it starts with someone like, you know, Ryan Sandberg, who, again, is in the Hall of Fame, won a National League MVP, was the first Cub MVP since Ernie Banks. I mean, all these remarkable things. There's so much uniqueness about Ryan Sandberg, and the fact that he's managing here is unique in itself. Because here's a guy that was drafted by the Phillies that has come back to the organization, and he will get a shot. I truly believe he'll get a shot to manage in the major leagues in the near future. I think he had a couple of chances this past offseason, interviewed for the Cardinals job. Like you said, I think was hoping for more serious consideration with the Cubs a couple of years ago. But that right spot, right time is coming sooner than later, I think, for Sandberg.
What about the rest of the staff? Because Ryan Sandberg certainly will delegate along the way.
We have a really good staff. Rod Nichols is a veteran pitching coach who's been in this organization a long, long time. Former major league pitcher that's done a really good job throughout the years with guys that kind of need a tweak or a fix. He's been able to do that. In fact, we had Brett Myers come down here a few years ago needing to kind of get right, and he did. After he came down here, had a very good second half of the season with Philadelphia. And we have a veteran hitting coach by the name of Sal Rendi that's managed a lot in the minor leagues. And it's another guy that's just well-respected. And that's what the staff, I think, has. You have Sandberg, Rendi, and Nichols. A lot of guys with experience, veteran status, that the players, really look up to and respect.
I think a lot of people looked at that Allentown-Bethlehem market for years and thought that would be a great minor league area. Give us an idea of how the area and the Valley has embraced the club and being the AAA affiliate of the Phillies after they were in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre for so many years.
Steve, it's unbelievable. I never knew what it would become. I knew this was a passionate sports area. I'm from outside of Philadelphia. But this is an unbelievably passionate sports area, as I think we know from their passion for college athletics and maybe Penn State. But you got a lot of Philadelphia people, also a lot of New York people. And, of course, in that part of the country, you have a lot of people that love just sports in general, want to see a winner. We led minor league baseball in attendance last year. We led minor league baseball in attendance in 2010. Currently, we're leading minor league baseball in attendance, which is amazing because Allentown, Bethlehem, while it's been a great area for minor league baseball, it's certainly not the biggest AAA market in the country, nowhere near it. With cities like Sacramento and Charlotte and Indianapolis, it's worked out well. It's kind of it's not necessarily the only show in town, but in terms of live sports, it's not competing against a minor league hockey team or a pro sports team like Indianapolis or Charlotte would have. So it's a great facility. People love it. We average between 9,000 and 10,000 people a night. And, hopefully it continues. But our fans have just been unbelievable.
And the same story there that I think we did an extensive series earlier this week at Medler Field at Lebronto Park. That's single A, and Williamsport, single A as well. But you do very much the same things on the triple A level in that park as they do in the single A level between innings.
You're right. It's the exact same thing. And having spent some time working in A ball in my career, I think what we found is, there's people that certainly love baseball and want to see, the Dominic Browns and the next great pitching prospect and hitting prospect. There's just as many people that are there for fireworks or for affordability or for the bobbleheads, just for a good night, as opposed to spending, a few hundred dollars in Philadelphia, New York. What about spending, $20 or $40 or $60 at a minor league game? And I think this area has been really receptive to that. We see, new families all the time, people returning, but the same old staples, fireworks and dizzy bat races and bobbleheads, the things that have been a part of, baseball at the lower levels, the higher levels for a long time, that's been a huge part of our success here, and I think that certainly will continue. That's a big reason why we've been able to draw, I think, with some of those promotions.
And also on AAA, John, that means you not only have to do the play-by-play, which is your passion, but you also have to be the media relations director. So give us an idea how you need to delegate your time so that you are competent at top level at both.
It's amazing because I think when you work in minor league baseball, there's just, it's cliche, they always say you wear a lot of hats, and it is true. I mean, whether it be just printing out stats in the morning for coaches and media members or trying to handle some media requests, or putting the tarp on the field. The same things that go on at State College, are going on here at Allentown, even with a larger staff. And it can make for some long days. It can make for sometimes working on stuff not related to necessarily calling the game in the evening. So you have to spend your time wisely. I need to prepare the way I know I need to prepare to be ready for a broadcast. But I also have to, put in the time necessary to make sure that, this organization runs well outside of, the play-by-play of the baseball game in the evening. So I think over the course of just, you know, a few years of doing it, you figure out how to spend your time. You know, you'll have some long days and nights. You know, there'll be some rain delays and early mornings. And, you know, at the end of the day, say, you know, you work at a ballpark, and that's what I've always wanted to do, and that's, you know, that's good enough, and that's what keeps me in it and makes me enjoy it so much.
And the next part of that, though, John, would happen to be that since you're putting the game notes together, you're doing your preparation at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. That's so important. I think some people, you know, that don't have a background necessarily in what you and I have done, Steve, for a career is, you know, sometimes you don't realize what goes into the preparation for a broadcast. You know, how important putting together quality notes are. You know, how important that is to the process, how important it is, you know, doing the necessary research, talking to the right people, writing down the information that's important to you, you know, on a scorecard, getting ready for a baseball game. All of those things are so important. So I think especially in baseball, because baseball, you know, without the clock on the game, is you never know when you're in one of those nights where it's just one of those nights. It's 10-0. You're either winning or losing. It's the sixth inning. You don't know if you're in for a two-hour game or a four-hour game. So you need to put yourself in a position where you have enough material, you know, to get through it and to get through it well. And that's something that, you know, over years of just broadcasting games, you have good days, you have bad days, and you kind of figure it out. And that's something we still experience definitely up here.
We talked earlier about the 61 moves that have been made between the Phillies and the Iron Pigs. And that means several of the Iron Pigs have made that move to Philadelphia. They've been in the show, and when you're in the show, you travel by jet.
Mm-hmm.
When you're with the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, you don't. Give us an idea how grueling the travel is in AAA.
Yeah, you know, we are somewhat fortunate to be centrally located, but it's difficult. I mean, there's bus trips back from Louisville, Kentucky after a 7:05 game, and then a game the next night in Allentown. You know, that is a part of it. And that's a part that the players, I think, do well with, because these are veteran players and they have experience with the bus travel. Although, like you said, I mean, traveling on a jet from New York to L.A. or Philadelphia to L.A. is a much easier process for a player than busing. You know, you can get to L.A. in 5 or 6 hours. You can get on a bus, though, from Louisville to Allentown. It might take 11 or 12 hours. So you have a couple of those lengthy trips. And we have some of the somewhat centrally located, so we have some Syracuse and Rochester and Buffalo and Scranton Wilkes-Barre trips in there that are more manageable, 3-, 4-, 5-hour trips. But every single player at this level has to deal with the, you know, hop on a bus for 10 hours, not really get a good night's sleep, get right back to the park, if even leave it when you arrive, and then play that night, and know that they're going to be judged on how they perform, whether that be the starting pitcher or the, you know, the 1-9 in the lineup. I mean, an 0-4 is an 0-4. Nobody cares if you travel back from Louisville or not. It still counts.
In fact, I thought of you a few weeks ago. I was watching on TV, and I believe the Iron Pigs were playing Gwinnett County on the road, and I thought, John and those guys have to travel back from there.
it's a long trip. Gwinnett is the farthest outpost south in this league. Actually, used to be in Richmond, Virginia. They recently moved to Gwinnett. When the Braves got up and moved a few years ago. And, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, from Gwinnett to Allentown is quite a trip. It's even more of a trip from Gwinnett to, you know, Buffalo, New York, or Pawtucket, Rhode Island. So there's some serious trips. And this is even a better travel league than the Pacific Coast League, where you have stretching from New Orleans, Louisiana, to Tacoma, Washington, in the same league. It's just a remarkable amount of space, all kinds of flights and layovers. They even miss games every once in a while because luggage doesn't arrive or the teams don't arrive at times for the 7:05 first pitch. That will happen in the PCL. That doesn't happen in the International League. Although, now 2 years ago, it did happen. I believe Indianapolis never got out of Indianapolis for a game heading south, and they did miss a game in the south just because of travel. So that will happen in minor league baseball. You never hear about it in the major leagues.
All right, final question for you, John, before I let you go. Outside of your beautiful ballpark in Allentown, best park that you go to in the International League where you look forward to it, and the one where you cringe just a bit?
Oh, you put me a little bit on the spot, but you know, I really like Pawtucket's McCoy Stadium, which is an older ballpark, but in Pawtucket, being so close to Boston, it's a Providence suburb. They are there for the baseball. You know, they love Boston Red Sox baseball. It's somewhat of a nostalgic feel. They pack it in the summer. They just love summer night. It's a typical New England summer night. You know, sun setting, not humid, 70-something degrees. Great place to watch a game and call a game from. A couple of the venues. There's some older venues. I think one that comes to mind is probably in Syracuse, New York, Alliance Bank Stadium. That, you know, it's not that it's a terrible venue. It's just there's not that many people there watching, you know, a Chiefs game. And we've all been in one of those situations where you're calling a game and you literally feel like what you're saying they can hear on the mound. And that's one of those venues there. Even though you're probably a couple hundred feet from the mound or from the dugout, you know, each and every word you say, you feel like everyone can hear because there's just no one there on a lot of nights.
John, you do a great job, and thanks so much for the time you gave us. And we'll look forward probably a month from now from bringing you back on and hearing from you again.
That's great, Steve. I appreciate the time. Enjoy the afternoon.
All right, John Schaefer doing an outstanding job as the play-by-play voice of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday afternoon. We'll come back with more after this.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is going green.
Not that kind of green.
Sunbury Motors has every new vehicle on the lot clearly marked with a green sales tag. Choose from over 25 2012 Ford Escapes that get up to 28 mpg, and they start at just $1,980. Here, the all-new 2013 Escape is in stock for immediate delivery. The 2012 Ford Fiesta gets up to 40 mpg and starts at $13,975. The 2012 Ford Focus also gets up to 40 miles per gallon, and they're on sale as low as $14,980. SMC has the most fuel-efficient full-size truck on the market, the Ford F-150. They get up to 23 mpg, and there's over 50 F-Series to choose from, as low as $24,989. Remember, every new vehicle from Sunbury Motors gets an extra set of tires. Hurry into SMC and save some green on the most fuel-efficient vehicles during the June Green Tag Sales Event. Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley and the coal region since 1915.
This is Hollywood, where anything can happen and the fun never ends. From over 60 world-class table games to more than 2,400 of the newest, hottest slots and the kind of blockbuster winning you won't find anywhere else. Enjoy the award-winning Final Cut Steakhouse and a buffet that could only be called epic. There's fabulous entertainment and the heart-pounding thrills of live thoroughbred racing. It's the ultimate destination for fun seekers and big-time players alike, because there's no place like Hollywood Casino. Just minutes from Harrisburg and Hershey, take I-81 to exit 80. Must be 21 or older to enter the casino or attend concert. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-565-2112 for help.
Nobody's happy about a car accident, but now at least Allstate guarantees you'll be happy with your claim experience. Introducing the Claim Satisfaction Guarantee, only from Allstate. They're so confident you'll be happy with your claim service, they guarantee it. Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you like Allstate.
Call the Tilson Agency today in Montoursville at 368-7600 or in Selins Grove at 374-7888.
Subject to terms, conditions, and availability, premium credit varies based on vehicle involved. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company.
Coming to go and see a realtor at Bowen, bowenagency.com. We've grown from 6,000 web visits per month to over 18,000. Go to our newly rebuilt website, bowenagency.com, to locate your new house, rentals, and more. Create a portal and save your listings. Email info@bowenagency.com and see how we can make your house hunting at Bowen Agency so easy. Coming to go and see a realtor at Bowen, Lewisburg, Selins Grove, and Sunbury. Remember, info@bowenagency.com.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK's On the Mark program. Tomorrow on our show, it's Ray Grecar disappearance expert Bob Buhner Jr., the former Monterey County DA. We'll also talk about the Jerry Sandusky case. On the Mark tomorrow.